All right, vital listeners, Zach here. I'm sitting in a little RV camper with one and only Nika Mullally. We are in Oliver Springs, Tennessee at Windrock Bike Park, his establishment and operation. Just thought we'd have a quick catch up with him. I mean, I've been down here, it's not like I just drove down to like record this, but hey, we're here. Nika, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot for doing the podcast. I've been listening to some of the vital stuff, and it's really cool. It's fun to listen to. Heard most of my friends on here, so I finally got to be on here myself.
Yeah, we got one of these little off-the-cuff, chewing-the-fat bits, and it kind of gives us a more, I don't know, freestyle way of chatting. It's not super structured, like, inside line per se, but, you know, it's fun. It's casual. It's what we do.
For sure.
It's that genuine stuff. So, man, this was a big year, 2017. A lot of changes. A lot of really cool, exciting things happened, but I'd say that we should just kick it right from the start on this one. You know, the YT mob, I mean, that was huge and certainly had an impact this year. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, this point in my career, it was couldn't have been a better opportunity to jump into 2017 on a team that I was really familiar with. This whole program on the YT mob was the entire infrastructure from Trek World Racing that I raced on for 5 years from when I was 17 onward. And, you know, all the staff, we use the same race trucks, stayed in the same places. I knew what the program was. I knew what I was getting myself into. And I really felt like I was back at home when I started riding on the team again. And, I guess kind of took for granted how good the organization of it all was. And coming back now, a little more mature, a little older, I can really appreciate how nice it is to ride for a team like this. And then, yeah, they took awesome care of me. Got to ride alongside Aaron. We rode together on Trek World Racing very similarly in 2011 and 12. And, yeah, we were back together this year. And, yeah, everything was great. It was awesome. The bikes are dialed. I was really impressed. That was one of the things I was most impressed with, because signed on the team, I hadn't had a chance to ride the bike yet. And when I finally got mine, it took a little longer because I wanted to ride an XL and they didn't have one yet. So I waited on that, and when I got it, it just ripped. It was awesome. The whole build, all the team sponsors and components together really make the bike. And it just works great, and I'm stoked to ride it every time I get on it. And the one aspect of it, you know, the bike, the program, the organization, and just the people involved. Like, I'm stoked to be at the races every weekend with this group, and that really motivates me, you know. It makes you stoked to be there.
It definitely showed. Your riding this year has been notably inspired. I know we were joking about this earlier in the week, talking about the Pro GRT here that you had, which we'll touch on in a bit. But, you know, seeing your early season pre-World Cup, you know, there's this fire, this invigorated riding style. It was like Nico of old. You know, it was a familiar, you know, silhouette coming down the trail at you. And then seeing you at the opening round in Lourdes, I mean, it was all there. And it was really exciting to see that you carried that momentum through the season, you know. As a friend, but also, like, just from a standpoint of seeing a rider come back, you know, it was great.
Yeah, I felt like the season couldn't have started off better. Like I said, coming into it with this team, I knew I had everything I needed, and I knew deep down I could do it, and I was excited to see what my best would be this year, and I was able to put some really good performances together. The first two World Cups, I was inside the top 10, which was my goal. I finished 7th in Lourdes and got a little help from the rain. I think I was I rode a top 15, top 20 ride, and ended up 7th with the top 10 guys getting some trouble in the rain. And then in Fort William, though, I backed it up. I finished 7th straight up, and that was a really big one for me this year, because in the past, Fort William's been a track that I haven't really looked forward to. I guess every year on the schedule is like, minimize damage in Fort William. The surface is super weird. Riding on like that gravelly dirt, it's something I never really get to practice on very much. A lot of UK guys ride it a lot, so you see a lot of times like top 20, 10 of them will be British. and it makes it tougher for someone like me to get the result that I'm normally looking for. But this year I went there and did, that was my best result of the season. It was tied for the best finish, but for me, like, ticking that one off the box. Now I look forward to going back to Fort William next year, and I was stoked with that finish. It was awesome. And then right in between there, I was able to win the U.S. Open, which was pretty cool. I did that race as a kid growing up, and it was the first big mountain bike race that I ever got to be a part of. I raced it for the first time in 2006, and right when I first started mountain biking, it was close to where I grew up, and I got to meet Sam Hill there and watch those guys race, and that whole event kind of made me want to pursue mountain bike racing. So to come back this year, they brought the race back. It was kind of off for the past couple of years, but yeah, this year the U.S. Open was back, and I was able to win the race, and so many local homies were there to watch it too, so that kind of made it even more special. And yeah, it wasn't a World Cup or anything, but crossing the finish line and winning the race with a big crowd there was pretty sweet.
I think that was a really special win for, like, not only yourself, but for, like, 70% of that crowd, which was pretty cool to see. I mean, everybody was, you know, no one was ever rooting against other riders, but people were definitely rooting for you. And I can say that I stood there listening to the crowd as you were coming down. I mean, it was also a really neat story because you won that as a junior. So you've won the junior U.S. Open, the amateur open, and then you won the pro open a couple of years later, you know?
Yeah, they used to have it was only two categories. It was just amateur and pro. And when you were a junior in the U.S., if you could win the U.S. Open in amateur category, that was, like, right up there with probably more important than winning national champs. And I won it in 2008. And it was sick. I won a complete Iron Horse Sunday. Like, probably one of the sickest prizes I could have got when I was 16 years old.
Yeah, so, those things were sick.
Yeah. 15 years old, actually. But, yeah, that was cool to win that race. Yeah, the season started off awesome. Those three races were great. I felt like I was riding exactly the way I wanted to, finishing right where I thought that I kind of belonged, and building on it, progressing on it. And then, unfortunately, shortly after in Leo Gang, I crashed in practice and broke my wrist, which put me out for a long time. But even with that setback, I look back on the whole 2017 season as a lot of big, big positives checked off. The past couple of years have been rough with injuries and just haven't been able to get out there and do what I want to on my bike. And this year I was able to do it again and feel that I was doing it. And that's huge going into next year and years to come. So, yeah, regardless of I missed a lot of races this year after breaking my wrist, but, everyone I did before I broke my wrist, I did exactly what I wanted. So it was really good.
You even showed up to Cairns and had a strong finish though. All things considered, you know, you're only back on the bike for a little while post wrist surgery before heading down to Australia, and that wasn't too shabby considering.
Yeah, I made it back for the last race of the year. The wrist injury just was kind of like nagging along. I actually broke it on Friday in practice in Leo Gang, and I didn't know that I broke it. I just thought I jammed my wrist, and I thought it was just one of those things that needed a couple days to recover and I'd be okay again. But I pushed through it and raced that weekend and didn't do too bad. I think I qualified like just outside the top 20 and finished around 30th somewhere. And yeah, even with the broken wrist, still was like sitting pretty good in the overall. So went home and saw the doctor and was not expecting to hear that I broke my wrist. I actually went to physical therapy to get some help with healing my wrist before the next race because I thought I just jammed it or tweaked it or sprained it or something, and they said, well, you should really go get an x-ray on it just to be sure. So I went and did that, and I was really surprised when they told me I broke it. So after that I had surgery, and it just took a long time to heal, and the doctor says that, but you know, you're always sitting there thinking that you're going to get back sooner than that. It never really does work out that way.
No, never.
But, so anyway, I broke my wrist in June and didn't get back until Worlds, unfortunately. But fortunately, I did make it back for that race. And doctor told me right before it that I was cleared to do some light mountain biking. So I thought, you know, it's the last race of the year. I feel like I can do it. I really want to. It's a long way to wait till April, so let's race. And went down there, and wrist didn't really hold me back. I definitely, being off the bike for 2.5 months in the middle of summer, I didn't feel like I was hitting my marks the way that I was before it. But I had a really nice wrist brace that the guys from All Sports Dynamics made for me, and that really helped a ton. So took all the pressure off my wrist joint. And even though it would have been nice to wait another couple of weeks to do a race like that, I managed to make it happen and get out there and race. And I finished top 20. I finished 19th, and the times were super tight. I think if I would have gone a half second faster, I'd have been up to 12th. So the times were really tight where I was, and I was happy with that. I think top 20 is always like a good, if you can get inside there.
Yeah, top 20 is great any day of the week, and then at World Champs, top 20 is like even better. So, at least I think so. Talent's usually a little deeper, like consistently, I guess, at World Champs, just because it's like the best of the best show up, more or less. So.
Yeah, but then they lay it on the line more too, so you get a couple more crashes. But
yeah, true. Yeah,
I don't know.
Definitely know
how that I was stoked. It wasn't. It wasn't a result to write home about, but it was definitely nothing to be upset about. It was a good, positive way to end the season.
Absolutely. I know I was cheering for everybody through the screen back home on that one, so it was pretty cool. Yeah, and now, speaking of home, the U.S. downhill scene, you know, while you're away racing World Cups, is happening pretty aggressively, which is excellent to see. There's a real invigorated revamp of the Pro GRTs this year, which you also had a part in early on in the season. You ran the first one in March, which I covered with Vital listeners. Go find that one. It's a great piece of editorial work with Nico's audios and track work. But yeah, so we're back here at Windrock, where that race was held a couple months back. And you know, you have had a really proactive go at bringing U.S. downhill back to a level which has some prestige to it. You have your Downhill Southeast Series, which also ran around here at Windrock, as well as the Pro GRT at Windrock, which was a separate event from the Downhill Southeast. Was that something you did because it was like a fun project, or did you do that because you felt it was needed?
Well, both. I did it. I was using this area down here in the Southeast to kind of get myself ready for the World Cup season for the past 4 or 5 years. Luca Shaw lives just right down the road, and the two of us would go around to some of these venues and go for a weekend and do timed runs, or sometimes they'd have like a really disorganized race that somebody was putting on. One of the local downhill guys was gonna promote a race like a week before, posted on Facebook they're having a race out there, and they'd time it with stopwatches, and we would all go, and we kind of didn't take it too seriously, but we used it as a chance to work out some of the kinks before we got to the World Cups. And with the weather that we have here, we can ride year round, so to do a couple races in like late February, early March was really good build up to the season. Normally had your new race bike for the year. You're figuring out what kind of settings you wanted to run, what parts you were able to use, and those races kind of were a big benefit to getting to the first race and not having to work out those kinks at that point. So I thought to myself, like, if we're doing these local races on this kind of small grassroots level now, like, I think it'd be easy to make them into something that everybody could benefit from. So 2 years ago, I just kind of got together all the local venues and put on a small race series. It was really laid back, just about loads of practice time, fast shuttles, lots of shuttle trucks, get as many runs as you can, and then get a timed run in. And I think it went really well. We had a big turnout, and in the Southeast, it's kind of, we haven't had as much downhill riding. It's been really enduro popular, and everybody's got a trail bike, and not everybody wants to race. People are more into riding. But since I got that going, it seems like downhill's really made a big comeback. I know, talking to the guys at YT, they said that they're selling a ton of bikes to this region because it's kind of like an untapped market for them. It's a new market where a lot of other places they're selling people another bike. They're trying to upgrade, get a new bike, but down here, people are buying a downhill bike for the first time, or the first time in 5 years, or something like that. So, I think I've seen it myself. I mean, in the Southeast, it's growing a lot, and we've got a lot to offer. We've got year-round riding, and we've got some of the best trails in the country. So, anyway, to talk again about the downhill Southeast, that's just kind of why I got it started. Was just for myself. I wanted to go to good races, and I wanted to ride good tracks, and I wanted to use it as a building block for my season and not have to travel to the Southern Hemisphere. So it was easier for me to just try to organize a couple of grassroots races, and built off that again last year for the second year, and ran all the venues again and improved and learned with everyone, and got the system that we were running the race, got the whole package down, and you know, every time we did it, it was a little bit easier and a little bit better, and learned something from it. And then ran the Pro GRT as well. So learning everything that we did through the series last year, we, in addition to it, ran the Windrock Pro GRT, which was the opening round of the Pro GRT series. And it was the first UCI race in North America, actually, too. So it was cool to get an early season race like that, and on a proper track. A lot of times you do off-season testing or off-season racing, and it's somewhere that your settings that you get are useless for when you get to the World Cup. I mean, so many times we've tested these places that the temperature's good and you can ride, but then you show up at the race and you're, like, really far off. But what we have here was pretty spot on. So I learned a lot from running that Pro GRT. It was a lot more involved with working together with the UCI and USA Cycling to all the rules and regulations that they have to kind of meet their standard, more than just running like your own show down here with the grassroots stuff. So that was cool, and it went really well. I think all the riders were stoked. I had a good time. And it served its purpose. Like, it was a great lead up to the season. I was able to use that as a building block forward to the season. So, yeah, it was really good.
I'd say so. You definitely outdone yourself with those events. I mean, they were fun just to hang out at. I mean, granted, I was working as well, but seeing everyone so excited with something new, because there's always a ho-hum environment in the pits, you know, on race morning. It's like, okay, time to race. Oh, God. But then I showed up here, and everyone was so fired up, and including a Bailey, and from what I understand, the other events that friends were in attendance at. So, way to bring the fun back to racing. I think that's really important. Yeah, and then after all that, you know, the U.S. Open, as you covered, that was pretty spectacular. And
yeah, I think the U.S. racing is, and at least in this region, seems to be doing better and better. I never got to see the heyday that I always hear about. My dad actually used to race back in the 90s. He did all the Norman Nationals, and that's how I got into mountain biking. He was really into it. He was into downhill racing, and he traveled the country with his buddies. They drove around and hit all the stops in the Norman National Series in the late 90s. And you know, all I hear is stories about how awesome it was and all the big rigs that were there and how many racers there were. And when I got into it, it definitely wasn't like that. Like, when we were racing back at Plattekill in 2006, 2007, and those days, it was probably at one of its smallest points, the racing scene. And it seems like over the past couple of years, it's getting bigger and bigger. The sport's getting more legit, like with all the coverage from Red Bull TV and just all the media coverage that we get at the World Cups, it kind of just raised the bar, and I think getting a new generation of kids interested in racing. So, like I said, in this region, it's definitely growing, and I think it is throughout the country. I was able to help out USA Cycling this year. I'm on the mountain bike committee, so I was just out in Colorado Springs a couple weeks ago and trying to help them out with from a gravity perspective. I think, you know, at least my perspective is unique, where I've organized a UCI level race and I'm competing at the top level, so I can kind of see both ends of it and try to help them out with the biggest thing is the schedule, I think, for the downhill stuff, to try to, you know, have really good races, not too many, and on dates that the riders can get to them. So USA Cycling, sometimes they get a bad rap, but they do a lot. I think, you know, racing on the World Cups and at World Champs and stuff, you always hear all the riders complaining about their federation, about what they need to do and what they don't do to help them. But with the resources that they have and what they're getting a return on from mountain biking or gravity racing, they're doing as much as they can, and they're open to suggestions. So I think I showed up at the meeting and tried to help out, and I think that they really are taking that information on board. And from that point of view, I think downhill has a bright future with the Pro GRT and then other big events like the US Open coming back. So I think it's doing really well right now, and it's going to continue to improve here in the US.
You said the schedule for next year is actually pretty logical, which is encouraging to hear. You said the order was going to be your race, then the Northwest Cup in Port Angeles, and then remind me the other ones.
Mountain Creek's going to be Memorial Day weekend, and then the guys from Northwest Cup are doing another one at Tamarack in Idaho. And those guys put on a top-notch show. Their races are the most popular, they have the most attendance, and they're run really well. So they're organizing two next year. And then, after that, we've got our national champs again at Snowshoe, which I love that place. Unfortunately, I didn't get to race it this year because I had a broken wrist, but you can check out my vital coverage as well.
Yeah.
I actually sent back some sound bites and took some still photos, some reverse pan shots, because I couldn't race it. But Snowshoe's a place where I grew up racing. I raced there a ton my first season, and I loved it. So I think I won the Pro GRT there like 4 years in a row. I'm right at home. It's very similar here at Wind Rock. So looking forward to national champs next year at Snowshoe and hopefully being in the mix. And then after that, Wyndham has their Pro GRT. And then US Open is right after Wyndham. And then Mount St. Anne. And then at the end of the season, Mammoth has their Kamikaze Games. So a lot of the venues were committed to a date that they really liked and worked for their region. But just trying to make it so that the series kind of flowed and made it easier for the riders to get to. Because in years past, it's been tough. And the scheduling is really the main thing. So I think it's a real good step in the right direction.
I'll say so. Northeast Summit is going to be stacked, going Wyndham US Open, Mont Saint Anne.
Yeah.
So to any international riders that are listening to this, come over a little bit early and show us what you got. Add some flavor to the American races. That'll be wild. Excited. Well, good job on that. Way to guide with a subtle hand there.
Yeah, and it's cool too. They're all offering all the races are UCI races. They all offer UCI points. Windrock, we're having the first race again, and we're gonna have a UCI HC race. So we're offering the most points, and that's just the level of commitment. We have to offer more prize money. We have to have a few more officials, and the inscription fee's a little bit higher, but. Maybe not something that we're going to see a return on our investment, but trying to just raise the bar and give riders a chance to earn the points and hopefully offer a quality of race that's unrivaled in the area and hopefully encourage some of the other venues to come on and step up and put on a race like that. But compared to a lot of other countries, at every one of our national rounds, you can score UCI points, which is pretty cool. I think it's adds a level of professionalism to our series.
I think that's a big step in the right direction. And that's been a question that on the road I get asked a lot, as well as at home just by other friends who race. And so I think it's really exciting to see a rider who is also now a race promoter really carrying the torch and leading by example. And, you know, from someone who's just grown up racing and now works in the industry, but thanks for that, because I think that gives a real glimmer of hope for American or downhill at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, I'm on both ends of it, and I can say it is 100% for the riders. It's more expensive, and it's a lot of extra hassle to work together with someone like the UCI to put on a race, but the riders get a level of, you know, they show up and they can expect what their race is going to provide if it's a UCI race. And they can score the points, and the prize money is guaranteed higher. So, yeah, it's something that, it's, like I said, totally for the riders.
That's fantastic. And speaking of for the riders, you know, been up there on the hill with you, looking at some of the improvements you got coming in for the winter season here at Windrock. Your opening date's coming up, and things are looking, it's going to be another great season down here.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know the full story about this project that I've started here. Just coming up on a year ago now, you say opening day, it's our 1 year anniversary. We're open year round. I started with a few buddies of mine, full lift access mountain bike park here in East Tennessee. And it's on a old coal mining property that is now an OHV park. So it's a huge off-road park for Jeeps, side-by-sides, motorcycles, four-wheelers. Massive piece of property. It's the largest in the country that's privately owned. So most of these places are on government land, but this one is a privately owned by, it's called Coal Creek, and a huge coal mining operation here. And since coal mining's not going on anymore, they are in the business of outdoor recreation. And I came out here for the past couple of years to do some training preseason. You could buy a permit just like you can buy a pass to drive your Jeep or ride your motorcycle and go shuttle yourself on mountain bike trails that were hand-built by local dudes who just wanted a place to shuttle. And it was kind of a free-for-all. They were, if you bought a permit, you could kind of do whatever you wanted. So there was a, there were some gnarly trails here, and it was a place that I could use to train, and likewise to a lot of the guys who came before me, and then Luca and Walker and a bunch of the local guys now. We've come out here the past couple of years to train and to ride. And it so happened that I was out here testing with Fox, actually, and it was a pretty cold day. So I was hanging out in the general store, which is like the ticket office here. And while they were outside messing with my bike, I was inside staying warm and got chatting with them. And I guess while I was riding, the Fox dudes told them a little bit about who I was. And I didn't really know that, but when I got in, they started talking to me about racing and riding and how they were pumped that I was out here. And I was like, I come here all the time. I love riding here. And they just kind of got to asking me about how they could get more mountain bikers. They really like the mountain bike crowd. The people were really nice to deal with, and they wanted to try to get more of that segment of customers to come out. And I told them the model that they had, where you paid to go shuttle yourself on trails that you had to build yourself, was for a very unique customer. And if they wanted to see it grow, it was going to have to be guaranteed that you'd show up and you'd get driven to the top and maintain mountain bike specific trails. And they asked me if I knew anyone that could do it, and I kind of laughed and got their contact info and thought about it the whole way home and for the next couple of days. And I knew that I could do it. It was just a question of, did I want to throw that on my plate? You know, I like to do things that I'm really proud of and deliver a finished product that's ready to go and really good and associate my name with quality. And I knew that this was going to be a big undertaking. And I just wasn't sure if I could manage it all. But it was something I was really attracted to. You know, ever since I was a kid, I love trail building. I love being out in the woods. I love project managing like that. And I really wanted to do it. I just had to figure out how I could budget my time, and thought about it for a while and called the guys back and gave them a list of terms that I thought I could do it on, and they said yes to every single one, so I kind of had to do it at that point. It was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. And out here, it's just, they've got so much infrastructure already in place with their off-road park. We've got a paved shuttle road to the top of the mountain. We've got 2,200 feet of vertical drop, which is huge. That's the size, bigger than Mount St. Anne or Fort William. It's a massive hill. We've got the temperatures to ride year-round. And then all the other things that come along with their existing business that we were able to tag on with made it really easy to get this place going. And the deal that we worked out was made it so that we didn't have much overhead at all. We were just kind of giving them a portion of what we made off ticket sales. So when I started the bike park, I invested a little bit of money along with my partners and I in some of the infrastructure like shuttle trucks and machine rentals to get the trails built. But the main thing was just hard work. Like, we built this place completely out of passion and sweat. And to see what we've done in 1 year has been pretty special. Like, we've, in the first couple months of starting the bike park, hosted the UCI level race. And then we've had a huge enduro race here this fall that was really, really well received. And we've got more than 15 trails, and they're all really good trails and trails that I'm proud of. And it's just growing. Like, every month our numbers are getting bigger and bigger, and we're constantly improving the place. And this time of year, I've got a lot of time to work on it because I finish racing Worlds the second week of September, and I can dedicate 2 solid months to say, okay, let's, like last year was get it started, and then this year it's do all the improvements that I had on my mind all summer, and then get it to a point where it's sustainable, and then manage it from a little bit of a distance while I'm training and racing and doing my thing. And I never went to school. I never went to college, so this is kind of like my business degree, I guess. And I've learned so much about business, hard work, how to get the job done, and just stuff that you could never learn if your ass wasn't on the line. And putting myself in that position has been such an education, and if nothing else, that is well worth all the time I've spent out here. And but more than that, it's grown the scene. I've seen so many kids that started riding a year ago when we opened it, and how much they've improved over that amount of time, and kids that started racing the downhill Southeast the first year, and now they're getting to be 15 and 16 and they're shredding. And it's something that I think in a couple of years will really blow up to be a lot bigger than I maybe even imagined. But I love being out on the mountain every day working. I'm super passionate about it. It's a lot of fun, and it complements everything else I'm doing really well.
That's all we like to hear. That's fantastic. Well, I think it's a great jumping off point because it's getting late. I think we're both getting tired. I think
we could both talk about this all day.
All day. That's what we both love to geek out on. Well, thanks for taking the time to kind of sit down and hang out with us and give us a bit of a summation of the year. I think a lot of people were curious, and now they got the answers they've been asking me about for the past 4 months. And yeah, man, well, looking forward to seeing what the winter brings. Definitely keep an eye out.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to everything this winter and then next race season as well. It's cool the way it all balances out. And couldn't be more excited. I wake up every day stoked. So that's a good feeling.
Fantastic. Well, best of luck continuing with the shovel, and we'll catch up again soon.
For sure. And thanks a lot to all the sponsors who support me. I couldn't do this whole thing without all of them, so really appreciate it.